we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good Wednesday morning to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning into the Refresh Radio program. Here I'm Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God, and you are tuned in to WMIE 91.5 FM. I hope that you are planning on having a wonderful, wonderful Wednesday. Do want to remind you that tonight we have our adult Bible study on evangelism beginning at 7 o'clock. We don't have our kids ministry. There's still a few more weeks of that we don't have on Wednesday night. So just to let you know about that. Actually, there's this week and then one more week. And then there's a back-to-school kickoff party that Wednesday when they come back. So tonight at 7 o'clock, if you're interested in learning to share more of your faith with those around you, we want to invite you to Merritt Assembly of God, 7 o'clock. It is, I believe, an undisputed fact that we could do better at sharing our faith with those in the community around us. If we truly believed that they are going to spend an eternity apart from God unless they hear the good news and allow Jesus to come into their heart and life, we need to do a better job of communicating that. We cannot afford to be complacent or negligent in that responsibility. Several years ago, a man was telling me how missionaries had reached this community and they shared the gospel, and the people were absolutely moved and gave their heart to Jesus. And after the service, one of the elders of the community, and he says, "How long have you known this?" And they said, "Well, we've known for a long, long time. It's just," and his response was, "What took you so long? What took you so long?" And we don't want anybody in Brevard County saying, "What took you so long?" to reach us with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I want to take just a moment to say thank you to Creative AC Solutions, 321-759-3284. If you're anywhere here in Central Brevard County and your AC is suffering under the strain, I want you to give them a call, 321-759-3284, Bill Andriak. He can come out and get you fixed up. It was just a little over a week ago. I had a mower. It needed a little bit of attention, and I tried to replace the blade was what I was trying to do. I couldn't find a blade, so I put the old blade back on it. But when I did, I discovered that it had other issues bigger than what I realized. And at that point in time, it was like, okay, it's time to call in the experts. And that might be where you are with your AC. It might look like a functioning air conditioner. Everything, it's been trustworthy, it's been faithful, but you know, we live in a very hot environment and the AC units do a great deal amount of work, and maybe you've just found out that it is time to call in the professionals and see if there's a little more life in it, or whether it's time to upgrade to a more energy efficient unit. And I want you to give them a call, 321-759-3284, right here in Central Brevard County. They'll be a blessing to you. So we are in Galatians chapter 5, verse number 22. And we're talking about the fruit of the Spirit. And right now, we're talking about joy. And it says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law." And so as we've been talking on yesterday's broadcast, I want to go back and revisit a couple of things. One is that in your presence is fullness of joy from Psalm 16:11. And I don't want to oversimplify this because it is a very complex issue. I believe there are a lot of causes for depression and discouragement, and you know, you need to get that taken care of. But one of the things that I would recommend is to get into the presence of God, because in the presence of God there is fullness of joy. Again, I'm not dismissing the, you know, the underlying causes. Sometimes it's the loss of a loved one. Sometimes it's the loss of a job. Sometimes it's a chemical or hormone imbalance in the body. I'm not a doctor, nor have I played one on TV or the radio. I'm telling you, there are some underlying causes. But I do know this, that when it becomes a spiritual issue, the spiritual solution is to get into the presence of God, where there is fullness of joy. And so I want to encourage all of us that we come in and we remember the burdens that have been lifted. As I was preaching not too long ago out of Luke chapter 15, there were religious people who were complaining because publicans and sinners were coming and hanging out with Jesus, and they didn't like that. I think that we all need to remember where God has brought us from. If we would remember that God reached down into our miry clay and pulled us up, then we would also understand that and have a great appreciation that there are people still in that miry clay. And instead of complaining about people being reached with the good news of Jesus Christ, we'd be doing everything that we could to reach them as well. So let's remember where the joy that we felt when our burden was lifted, and allow God to do that in other people's lives as well. When I go to church, I'm not always the speaker. Thank the Lord. I get to receive as well. And whenever I go to receive, I'll be honest with you, I don't go to criticize. I don't go to complain. I don't even go to analyze. I go to receive. I look at it as a trip out to eat at a spiritual banquet, a spiritual feast, and I'm not having to cook. I'm not having to clean. I'm not having to do anything. I'm just there to receive. And so it is amazing to me that when we come into an atmosphere like that, that there's joy. And so I want to encourage you, when you come to church, come to experience the joy of the Lord, and also come to rejoice before Him. In a similar manner, we talked about Psalm 21:1, and we also had touched on this with an earlier broadcast out of Nehemiah, that the joy of the Lord is our strength. Psalm 21:1 says, "The king shall have joy in your strength, O Lord, and in your salvation how greatly shall he rejoice." And so if you are feeling weak, if you are feeling overwhelmed, you need to come to Jesus Christ. There is spiritual strength. And I remind you once again, we're bodies, we're soul, we're spirit. Which one is foundational for you? Because I tell you that if there is a spiritual change, that it is going to manifest in our body. It's going to manifest in our emotions. It is going to manifest in the things that we choose to do. It's going to manifest in those things. And so if you are feeling overwhelmed, you need to come into the presence of the Lord, because you're going to find joy there when you realize that your insurmountable odds are being engulfed by your omnipotent Heavenly Father. And so I want to encourage you today to come into the presence of the Lord. Find that he will give you joy, he will give you strength, and it will be worth it all. Psalm 27, verse number 1. "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and foes, they stumbled and fell. Though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war may rise against me, in this I will be confident. One thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple, for in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In his secret place, or in the secret place of his tabernacle, he shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. Therefore I will offer sacrifices of joy in his tabernacle. And so I wanted to touch on this because it describes in this psalm that God is going to not leave us in a place of fear. In fact, it says, though an army may encamp against me. Those are pretty overwhelming odds. It doesn't say a squad. It doesn't say a company or a battalion. It says an army, you know, a large, large group of people. And who are they gathered against? They're gathered against one individual. In this particular case, it is being talked about of David. And he knew what that was like because Saul had brought out the army on multiple occasions trying to track him down. And he says, I am not going to let fear rule my life even during times when armies have set up camp against me. And he said, God's going to exalt me. He is going to lift me up. He's going to bring me into the house of the Lord. He said, I'm going to behold the beauty of the Lord. I'm going to be able to pray in his temple. He is going to hide me in the secret place. He's going to set me up on high up on a rock. He said, I am going to be lifted up above my enemies. Therefore, I will offer sacrifices of joy in his tabernacle. When we have the joy of the Lord, it is not going to be a burden to give. We will give cheerfully. We will give joyfully. And because we realize that God has given to us much more than we have at our disposal to be able to give to him. I want to say this. Too many people give God their leftovers instead of giving God their best. And I want to encourage you to make God the top priority in your life. You are going to find that your joy level is going to go up. You are going to find that as you give joyfully to the Lord, that you are going to find the supply side going up. I believe it. I live this out. Our church lives this out. That we do not support missions begrudgingly. We support missions joyfully. And honestly, I think that it'd be a little hard pressed to find a church. I'm not saying this boastfully. I'm just saying that I think you'd be hard pressed to find too many churches in the area that give more away than what we do. But again, it's not a competition. It is because God has set this in our heart that we are joyfully sowing seed into people's lives. And so I'm very excited about that. And I believe that if you have not yet experienced that joy, that God has brought you greater victory than you could ever buy, you know, how much is eternal life worth? You know, there are a lot of people that have this mindset that says, I cannot afford to give. And I want to flip that around, and I will tell you this. I don't believe that you can afford not to. And I in all honesty, I've told pastors this. I've told pastors this. So let me tell you a little bit about our story. For the first 3.5 years that we pastored Merit Assembly of God, our total church income, not our personal income, the total church budget for the entire year was, the first year was $13,000. Now you might think that was 65 years ago because that's how long the church was in existence. No, that was in 1993. $13,000. The next year it hit $24,000. The next year it hit $27,000. And the next year it hit $29,000. 93, 94, 95. In 1996, God birthed in us in April of that year to change our attitude. Now, I'm telling you, when you've got a a $29,000 budget. Sometimes your electric bills are running close to $700 or $800 a month, and you have property insurance that runs $4,000 to $5,000. That doesn't leave a lot of wiggle room. And at that point in time, we had a loan that we were paying back for the district had come and resolved a debt that the church had before we got there. And so there wasn't a lot of wiggle room there. You learn to stretch it, and you know, all the time we're making improvements on the property and repairing things that that need to be repaired, and so it was very snug. And so in April of 1996, I was 10 weeks behind on a little bitty salary that I made. It was very, very tight. And by that time, my other job had, I was selling shoes. And during that time, December of 1995, my company went out of business. So my wife is working, but she's not making what I was making. And the church is not doing well financially, so to the point that I'm not able to draw a paycheck. And that's the point where God said, I want you to start tithing as a church. And so, believe it or not, in April of that year, I got called by a friend of mine who was in shoes, and his assistant manager was going out on maternity leave, and he asked me to come in and fill in for her for 6 weeks, and all of a sudden we had income once again. And all of a sudden things started happening at the church financially that had never happened before, and people started coming to the church and they started giving. And by the end of August, we had caught up on all of the back pay. We had done thousands of dollars of repairs on the church, and we had started giving 10% of our income to missions. And by the end of August, when I went in for my annual review, we had already surpassed the previous year's annual income, and that was the highest. $29,000 had been the highest. That year we had a total church budget of $59,000, and our general income was more than our total church budget was the year before. We'd given, you know, that year we gave about $6,000 to missions. So I'm going to let you do the math. We give $6,000 to missions. Our total church budget was $59,000. That leaves $53,000 is still a lot better than $29,000. And the next year we gave $8,500 to missions. But that year our total church income was $85,000, and $8,500 minus $83,000 still puts you in the 70 some thousand range. And that's better than 59 was. And so that trend continued for a number of years. And then when we had a plateau, we began to pray, and God began to challenge us and says, I want you to believe that you can give even more. And I want you to know that we have discovered that whenever we give, whenever we sow, as long as we're doing it in obedience to God, as long as we're doing it in faith, as long as we're doing it with joy, God loves a cheerful giver. We continue to see that God provides income. So I tell pastors all the time, you cannot afford not to be giving joyfully to the Lord. So if you have not experienced the joy of the Lord when it comes to giving, I pray that He will bring that revelation to you, not from a form of legalism, but that joy, the joy of the Lord would be the basis on which you give. And you will find that you won't just want to. Wouldn't it be horrible if I said, you know, honey, I know that we are married. I know that, you know, we have committed everything that we have to one another, but I'm just going to give you one day out of 10. Wouldn't that be horrible? And say, well, that's not a way. No, and the same way, there are people who are legalistic mindsetted that say, you know what? Well, the tithe is the Old Testament, and so I'm not under that. I don't want to give. Listen, the grace always creates a higher standard, and so I realize that in my life I want the devourer rebuked. So I 10% is the baseline. 10% is the baseline. That's not mine. It belongs to God. The federal government doesn't give me an option of saying, well, you know, you made this, but we're not going to put this on a volunteer basis. This is how much of your money actually belongs to us. God says the tithe is his. It is holy, and I don't want to desecrate anything that is holy. So I want to give to God that which is his. But giving goes beyond that. It's a God, I not only want to give you that, I want to make sure that others have this joy that comes from knowing you as well. And so I pray that you will allow God to birth in you the joy of giving. As the more you abide in him, you'll realize that the more you give is not, it's not tapping his resources at all. He's still got abundant provisions. Psalm verse number 30. Verse number 1 says, I will extol you, O Lord, for you have lifted me up and have not let my foes rejoice over me. O Lord, my God, I cried out to you and you healed me. O Lord, you brought up my soul. You brought my soul up from the grave. You have kept me alive that I should not go down to the pit. Sing praise to the Lord, you saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holy name. For his anger is but for a moment, his favor is for life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. And so maybe you have been going through a very difficult season. I want to encourage you, cling to God. Cling to God. Abide in him. Abide in his word. And remember the things that he has done. Listen to what David says. He said, I'm going to extol you because you've lifted me up. Remember, he was the youngest of his family. You know, all of his siblings were older. And he didn't even get invited to his own coronation by his father. Everybody thought that he was too puny to be able to take on a giant. And he was successful. He went from being a shepherd to being a king. He said, God, you have lifted me up and I am going to bless you. He said, you have not let my foes rejoice over me. I cried out to you and you healed me. You brought my soul up from the grave. You have kept me alive that I should not go down into the pit. How many times has God intervened on our behalf? So, you know, maybe this mindset will help, and that is, God has been so good to us. And like I've said, you know, Dave Ramsey has this saying, I doubt he was the one who originated it, but that God's been better to him than he deserves. And I want you to know that that is my testimony. God has been better to me than I deserve. I was going through a difficult season one time, a challenging season. And I had this opportunity to go away to a conference. And I will tell you, it was a conference that was way, way out of my league. I mean, the facilities, not the conference itself, the facilities at this conference were amazing. And I was walking in the parking lot on my way to my vehicle one night after the meeting. And it was just me walking in the dark, and I was praying. And God interrupted my walk with this statement. You know, answering my call into the ministry has been very good for you. And I said, yes, sir, it has. It has. He said, do you realize that if you had not said yes and walked in obedience to what I asked you to do as a child, that you would not be where you are right now? I've been very good to you. And I just began to praise God. God, you have been so good to me. And David is reminding himself of all of the times that God has brought him through. Listen, if I were to tell you that there had not been seasons of weeping in my ministry, I would be lying to you. There have been some times that brought me to the end of myself, but had just brought me to the very superficial aspects of God. That there was so much more of him that I still had to learn. You see, every time I reached the end of myself, I found a new beginning in him. And there were times where I was so heartbroken about transitions that were going on in ministry that literally I wasn't able to sleep for a couple of weeks. I had these huge gray pasty circles under my eyes. I'm not denying that there are seasons of weeping. Weeping may endure for a night, but I will tell you this, God is faithful. If you will abide in him, you don't have to let the night continue on forever. God has created a covenant with the sun where the sun comes up brand new every morning. And I know that he is able to break the power of darkness in your life and take away the weeping and transform it into joy. I pray that this Wednesday morning, is your morning where weeping ends and the joy of the Lord begins. If I can go on and read a couple of more verses here, it says, now, this is verse number 6, now in my prosperity, I said, I shall never be moved. Lord, by your favor, you have made my mountain stand strong. You hid your face, and I was troubled. And so David looks at that situation, and he said, the circumstances that I had in the past that caused me to weep have given place to a whole new reality that causes me to rejoice. Because you have taken me from a very precarious situation and you have placed me in a very secure, immovable, defensible position. God, I'm thankful. I pray today that what David had discovered will be a reality for your life. God has brought us through a great number of things. And right now, if you're going through weeping, I just want to pray for you right now. Lord, I pray today that your faithfulness would come back to mind. Lord, that your ability to lift us up beyond what other people thought possible, God, we celebrate that right now in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray for anybody who's going through a very trying season. Lord, I've been there, and you were there with me, and I know that you are there with them. I pray that you would transform weeping into rejoicing. Today, in Jesus' name. We'll see you next time, right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.